Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Via Zinc Media Arts, this is the fastest 3 hours on Internet Talk Radio. Glad that you are here experiencing this ride with me. Here it is, Monday, starting off a new week. Monday, August number 13 in the year of our Lord 2018. And it's not a, weather-wise, it's not beautiful. But we're told that all this stuff is supposed to clear up for a few days anyway, by Wednesday. And Thursday and Friday is supposed to be nice, and then possibly start this whole wet, damp, rainy. Nothing gets a chance to dry out. I mean, everything's damp, just damp all the time. Yeah, you know what's really bad is you go out there, your car sits for a day, you don't go anywhere, or you don't drive it. And you go out there a day later, and you know you got rust on your brakes, on your rotors, because everything's so wet. Getting out of your parking lot or driveway, you can hear your pads kind of grind. It gets that certain grinding sound or feeling, and it wears off. After a short period of time, braking. But it shouldn't happen. It just goes to show that the weather is just too damn wet. It's just too damp. One of my windows, I guess these are old windows, so there aren't really any really seals. I mean, these are original windows in this building. And one of them has this condensation on it. Now, it doesn't normally get condensation. It gets it when the humidity gets out of whack. It gets condensation. I don't know why this one window does it, but it does it. And the window's been, mist frosted for the last 3 days. It just tells you there's just too much moisture in the air. If it were a new window, newfangled vinyl window, which this building doesn't have any, it probably wouldn't do that, but I don't know why all the windows aren't like this, since they're all the exact same kind of window. But in any case, there's something to be said about the old stuff. You know, you ever look through some of the old windows where it's rolled glass and it looks kind of wavy? It's not perfectly crystal clear. Like here in New England, we have all these smaller window panes, simply because back in the day they didn't. When they could roll this glass out, they couldn't make large. It was expensive to make large panes of glass, so it was much cheaper and easier to make the smaller panes. Which is why you have so many windows that have like 6 or 8 or 12 panes of glass in them, because it was cheaper and easier to, believe it or not, it was cheaper and easier to make smaller panes than it was the bigger ones of glass. But you see the rolls in them, and you know it's authentic. And sometimes what people don't realize, when they have to replace one of those panes and they go to their glass shop and they have them cut a replacement and they bring it home and they put it in themselves and they look at it and they say, well, how come this doesn't look – it looks out of place. You can visibly see the difference. There is a color difference, a clarity difference. And a crystal difference. When I say crystal, the new pane, you can look out and it's like you're not being obstructed at all. You look out the older glass and it's a little bit discolored, you'd think, but that's a natural process. And you also can see the rolls and the ripples. And sometimes if you look at it a certain way, it can slightly distort your view. And it's a glaring difference. What people don't realize is when they go, they have to ask for restoration glass. Because sometimes, because when they cut it for you, sometimes they don't realize that's what you're using it for, and that what you want it for is a replacement to an older broken. And they're okay, we'll just give you this brand new, you know, crystal glass. It's modern stuff and cut, and it's going to look awful in your window. And it does. And what's worse is not only can you tell it from the inside looking out, but passersby can look at it and tell looking at your windows that it's a replacement pane. I see it all the time here in New England. And you know, the people often, some people don't care, but most people would rather spend the extra, because yeah, it might cost you an extra buck or two. Most people would rather spend the extra buck or two to get something that looked authentic and uniform and not stand out. Look, Americans, people in general, not just here in America, they like genuine, authentic things that stand out. They like things that stand out for a good reason. They don't want things that stand out to make it look bad. They want stuff that stands out that looks good. Now, when you walk by somebody who's replaced a pane in their window and you can tell the modern version versus the older version, that stands out. That's not bad. And if you walk in front, you know, by or go by some house that has been dutifully restored, it also stands out, but it stands out for the authentication of it. I mean, you go by some of these old homes, you know, some of the oldest homes in this country are located up here in the Northeast. Well, it's where a lot of stuff got started. So, you know, we have homes that are 200 years old that were built in the 1800s, 1700s, and even a few still standing that were built in the 1600s. And when people restore them, they stand out. They're beautiful homes. And then you look at the ones where people, you know, they just want to go the cheap way out, and they throw up some vinyl siding and vinyl windows, and it looks awful. It stands out, but it looks awful because you know it's not the real thing. And for whatever reason, it looks awful to the eye. Even if you don't, now look, you can look at a modern built house. And because of the shape and style and whatever, and they put vinyl siding on it, and it looks okay. But you try to retrofit an old house with this stuff, you know, 100-year-old, 200-year-old house, and it stands out, but it looks terrible. And then you take a dutifully restored home, and yeah, it stands out, and it looks awesome. So we like things that stand out, yes, but we want them to be real and good. We don't like things that stand out because they're bad or awful. I mean, honestly. And I think this also translates to Alexandria Ortiz-Cortez. You know, she stands out. She does, but she's awful. And again, let me give you this little caveat. You know, the GOP has made a huge mistake here. They did not really send the candidate that is really going to contest this seat. And I think the GOP makes this mistake a number of times in a number of different districts across the country. If they actually took the time to put up a real candidate who honestly and earnestly went after that seat, they could win it more times than they would actually believe that they could. This is one of those seats. I mean, the woman won the nomination with one of the lowest turnouts on record for that Democrat voter turnout for that district in its history. It was terribly low. And yet the GOP isn't really contesting. This woman is going to win this seat by fiat. if the GOP just put up some modicum of a fight, they could take this seat from the Democrats and from Ocasio-Cortez. We're going to have her for 2 years in D.C., folks. I'm thoroughly convinced we're going to. I'll be surprised if she's not elected. But she's standing out not because she's standing out not in a good way. I mean, people are starting to recognize how vapid and airheaded she really is. And even Democrats don't seem to like her very much. Has anybody seen any polls on Ocasio-Cortez of her likability or her favorability? They won't do one. I bet you this woman has some extremely high negatives. You know, kind of look, I think they may have learned their lesson with Hillary, because Hillary had some high negatives. Now, they tried to say that Trump had high negatives too, so it was a washout, but it really wasn't. Hillary's high negatives hurt her a lot more than Trump's negatives hurt him. And I think the media is being very careful with this kind of thing now when it comes to their own. I bet you Ocasio-Cortez has some extremely high unfavorable numbers. Because she's just a vapid person. She knows nothing. She's experienced nothing. She's fake. I mean, the reality is that I don't even think she knows what's real. And so she's gone out there and evidently she endorsed a few candidates, or her and Bernie. And so far, none of those candidates that Ocasio-Cortez has endorsed has won the Democratic primary. In fact, I think all of them came in, if there were more, if they came in dead last or close to it. Yeah, you know, well, you know, yeah, you know, there are five Democrats in the race and Ocasio-Cortez's people came in fourth or fifth. I mean, I don't think they didn't get, well, I know in one race it didn't even get, you know, 10% of the vote. There's no mandate for her. Not even within the Democrat Party, there is no mandate for Democratic Socialists. Is there now a complete and full burnout? Has Bernie fizzled? Did he burn all his fuel during the 2016 presidential campaign? Or was it his sellout to the Democratic, and he's not even a Democrat still, folks. He's still not a registered Democrat. So was it his sellout to the Democrat Party, the DNC, to smooth over him feeling that he had the nomination stolen from him because it was all rigged? By the way, folks, I we know that they rigged it against him, but frankly, honestly, even if it was fully fair, I don't think Bernie would have gotten the nomination. I think it would have been a squeaker, but it still would have been Hillary Clinton. Well, because Bernie's outside the norm. He's outside the Democratic norm. He's not a Democrat, for one. And two, you know, I don't know. There are some polls and numbers that would suggest that if Bernie was the nominee instead of Hillary, that he would have beat Trump. I don't think so. Because I do not think that the Bernie supporters were enough, and I don't think he would have gained a lot of non-Bernie supporters in a national election. Because remember, you know, Reagan won by, you know, his two elections by huge margins because he got a lot of Democrat votes. They call them Reagan Democrats. Notice they won't call them Trump Democrats this time. Yeah, Trump got a lot of Democrat votes, too. But they won't call him Trump Democrats. I think he's going to get even more Democrat votes in 2020. They won't call him Trump Democrats. But they're sure as hell not going to be calling him Ocasio-Cortez Democrats, that's for sure. At least not in a positive sense. Because there aren't any of them. There's such a small fraction of the Democrat Party. It's ridiculous. But, you know, all these people that are running around talking about democratic socialism, as people really understand and fully come to realize the cost of their freebies, A lot of people who were once for it are now turned off by it. Wait, it's going to cost how much? Well, that ain't free. Well, I've often said, folks, free's too damn expensive. We can't afford free. But there's another candidate that evidently bites the dust that has been endorsed by Ocasio-Cortez. And that's out there in the wonderful island paradise state of Hawaii. Yes, Kanila Ng has gone down in flames. He became the fourth high-profile endorsee of Cortez to go down in flames, pun intended, because we know the volcano is still active in Hawaii, in a primary this week based on returns that are now out. It has been called. Ng, who billed himself as a democratic socialist, has seemingly found little traction among local voters in the race to fill the open seat for Hawaii's first congressional district. We're talking about a very liberal state. We're talking about the state that took on Donald Trump's travel ban, which was eventually held up as constitutional by the Supreme Court. Because Hawaii's stupid federal judge said, no, that's unconstitutional. And it was far from, this is why I'm saying this is why Trump needs to start, you know, ignoring some of these bench orders from lower courts. Because a district judge cannot give a ruling that affects the entire country. That's not the way our Constitution and the judicial system is designed. But these people thought that was the case. Okay, no. Putting the ban on the entire USA. Well, who the hell are you? You're just a district judge in Hawaii. You don't have that kind of power. But this is what they've been doing. And Trump has been dutifully defeating these people. Sometimes doesn't even go reported that he's finally won. And sometimes they can't ignore it because the Supreme Court actually takes up the case and slaps everybody else's hand that got involved and did the opposite. Kind of like the Supreme Court did in back in, what, 2000 with Gore and W in Florida. Slapped the Florida Supreme Court's hands. And they were trying to change the rules after the fact for the election. Supreme Court of the USA said, hey, Supreme Court of Florida, you can't do that. Slapped their hands, said, bad boys and girls. So this is what's going on in Hawaii. Now, you would think that if anybody would embrace all this democratic socialism and be ultra-liberal, it would be Hawaii. But even Hawaii is saying, oh, hell no, we can't afford this crap. Now, Ng lagged far behind leaders among likely Democrat voters in local polls. Another publication out there indicated Ng came in fourth in a recent poll, and that's exactly where he ended up. I guess they can do accurate polls when they want to. Can't they? Now, returns that were published by the New York Times shows Cortez's preferred candidate, Kanila Ng, came in came in fifth. I take that back. I thought I read earlier that he came in fourth. No, he came in fifth out of five. So the poll said he was fourth. So no, I guess they can't get polls right down there, even out there in California. So Ng captured a measly 6% of the vote compared to the winner who won 40% of the vote. Couldn't even get him out of last place. Her endorsement couldn't even get him out of last. And she's lost everywhere else so far, too. I think she officially endorsed five people, and there've been four elections that have taken place and called. And so far she's 0 for 4. Will she go 0 for 5? It looks like she may. I think the next primary for her is tomorrow. Where is that, by the way? God, I had that too, and I can't remember. It's hard to keep track of this woman. Well, because you don't want to. But I know I gotta. You know, I should have wherever that primary is tomorrow. But I got so much stuff running in my head right now. It's ridiculous. I wish I had one of those. There are some people I know that have a memory trap, like a trap. I wish I had their memory. Now, I remember a lot of stuff, but there are some people that leave me far in the dust. By the way, I'll admit something here. Yesterday, I was supposed to have a conference call with a couple of people, and I ended up going to my favorite cigar store earlier in the afternoon. And of course, I call them idiots, but lovingly so, because they're not. Most of the people in there, surprisingly enough, most of them are rather conservative. So we're just chatting, talking about stupid stuff. And there's a guy who owns a store next door to the cigar store. He's always in there, but he doesn't smoke cigars. He doesn't smoke cigarettes at all either. He doesn't use tobacco, but he's always in the cigar store. He runs a rather successful, old-fashioned kind of hobby shop. And I asked him if he had a website, because I mean he's a really nice guy, very talkative. And my intent was to do something kind of nice for him to maybe boost his website. But he doesn't have a website. And I'm like, what? How does that work? And he goes, look, I've been here 12 years. I haven't needed one. He says, I'm doing very well. He says, besides, my stuff isn't, you know, he doesn't have, you know, remote control this or remote control. It's like walking back in time when you walk into a store. It's really cool, actually. It's located right next door to the cigar shop. So he took me back. He wanted to, because we got talking about aircraft, military aircraft. Come to find out that his father was also in the Air Force and stationed at a couple of bases that my father was stationed at. He was in the same type of military business as my dad, and they had a lot of the same aircraft. You know, the B-52s were common, and I mentioned the F-106, and he's like, Delta Dart. He says, you got to come see a model I have of one. Now, the F-106, it was a small plane, and it wasn't a very prolific plane as far as the number of planes were concerned in the U.S. Air Force at the time. But it was something that gave MiGs fits because it was small and fast and could turn on a dime. And I don't know why they didn't make more of them. Well, because they weren't very big. They were just an interceptor. They weren't meant to be a dogfight. They were meant to intercept and stop air intrusions, and they did that job very well. And he had a model done up authentically of it in the shop. And I was impressed. And, you know, and we chatted. And they made me forget about my conference. Anyway, we ended up doing the conference call a lot later than we had planned. And that was my fault because I got distracted by interesting people. It happens. It happens, but I apologize to them. They forgave me this time. I don't know if they're going to forgive me next time. But hey, whenever I go into that cigar shop, if I don't walk in, grab the cigars I want, and walk out, I can be trapped there, honestly. And it was Sunday. So, you know, you're just tooling around, taking your time. By the way, because the people in the cigar shop, the reason why I like hanging out there is because they're authentic people. They're real. They're not fake.
Warning. Listening to the Rod Eggles Show by the idiot left may cause outrage, fear, a need for safety pins and or spaces. If you experience any of these symptoms or are allergic to truth, tune in and learn something, Snowflake.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, But now, there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosett Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosettJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Cortez, it seems that the fifth election, and this is where it threw me off, because they had an election and a primary on a Saturday in Hawaii. Ng was the last one that was up. That seat was the last one up for grabs for Ocasio-Cortez endorsements. The reason why it's still only 4 out of 5 is that the Ohio District 12 race is still not officially called yet. But it's still, and look, folks, they found a box full of like 500 and some odd votes out of all of a sudden. Where the vast majority of the, if there was 512 votes in that, or votes in that box that they found, just happened to surprisingly found, you better believe that in order to try to make it look authentic, that only 500 of the votes are going to go for the Democrat. But that's the way it's going to be. I guarantee you. But I don't think they've actually officially called that race yet. So we're still 4 out of 5. Could be that she gets a win because the Democrats find a way to cheat out there in Ohio. But right now, as it stands, to be honest with you, she's 0 for 5. She really is. And the confusion came because, stupid me, I assume that all major elections like this happen on a Tuesday, but no, that's where my confusion came in. The Ng vote was actually on Saturday, which, who has an election around in the United States on Saturday? And that's weekend stuff in Hawaii. Well, I guess in Hawaii, every day is a weekend. So, hey, it's paradise, right? I've never been there, so I can't speak from personal experience of what goes on in Hawaii. Is Hawaii like Vegas? You know, what happens on the Hawaiian Islands stays on the Hawaiian Islands. Well, they are way out there in the middle of nowhere in the Pacific Ocean. Unlike Vegas. Vegas is almost in the middle of the country. I don't know how anything can actually stay in Vegas. But it really is. It's close to the land-wise. It's pretty close to the center of the country. It's not that many miles away from it physically. I would think that things that happen in Hawaii stay in Hawaii because it's just out in the middle of nowhere. Real honest, it's just. You know, in the vast size of the ocean of the Pacific Ocean, it's a tiny little dot, and it would be easy to miss, even from the air. Hawaii is easy to miss. It's just a tiny little thing. In any case, so it's, you know, glad that people know navigation as well as they do to find these remote places on this planet, because you wouldn't even know if you flew past it and you didn't see it. You wouldn't even know for hours that you missed it, because you know how, you know, sometimes you're driving down the road and you miss your turn, but you realize pretty quickly that you missed your turn, so you got to turn around. Can you imagine, we just realized that we passed Hawaii 2 hours ago. You got to turn this plane around. It's just not that easy. But it's out there in the middle of nowhere. So I would think that it would, whatever happened out there would stay out there. But evidently, even though it's a good thing, because the Hawaii brand of liberalism hasn't infiltrated the mainland yet. I know we got California and New York, they try to squeeze the country with their brand of liberalism. And California liberalism is different from the New York version of liberalism. California liberalism is probably worse than New York liberalism. But they're still both bad. And they try to impose their will and their liberalistic ideals on the rest of the country. But for the most part, pretty much, we've done a good job of resisting. As a matter of fact, you know, you've got Trump who's trying to roll back on a federal level some of the stuff like in the EPA and stuff that California has pushed and got instituted nationwide, like some of the if I'm not mistaken, aren't they taking California to task or to court over their some of their strict environmental laws, because the Trump administration is saying, well, this is the area of the federal government, and you have no jurisdiction over that. Well, you know, when it comes to, they're using the Commerce Clause Which, if you're going to go that direction, they're absolutely right. Interstate commerce is strictly the purveyance of the federal government. Now, you know, I guess technically, you know, one state can do special deals with another state. That, you know, the Commerce Clause doesn't prevent that. But when it comes to regulating, because, you know, states often have different laws when it comes to certain aspects when doing business. So when it's interstate commerce, well, the federal laws come into play, and that's in the Constitution. Federal government gets to regulate interstate stuff. So, and they're using that as saying, well, you know, basically what California is doing with some of their environmental laws is trying to regulate outside of their borders, and they can't do that. Pretty much like what happened between New Hampshire and Massachusetts a few years ago, when Massachusetts was trying to reach into New Hampshire for taxes. They were trying to force New Hampshire companies to turn over records of their Massachusetts state customers so they could collect taxes from them. And, you know, the companies in New Hampshire were saying, no, you can't do that. And so the state of New Hampshire actually stepped in and said, sorry, bud. And they went to court over this. And, of course, Massachusetts was thoroughly slapped by this. You cannot invade the sovereignty of another state with your own regulations in your own law. That doesn't work. Sorry. You can make a law if you want, you know, saying that your people have to pay the tax that they, you know, whatever they spent on in New Hampshire, but you cannot go in, you cannot extend that law into New Hampshire by forcing New Hampshire companies or residents to turn over records and documents so you can tax Massachusetts citizens. That's not the way it works. Although there is something that is pretty weird that still seems to be standing, and I'm still trying to figure. I haven't looked into the legalities of this, but evidently the state of Maine has been able to reach into New Hampshire residents' pockets for years now, decades. I don't know why nobody's looked into this, but evidently, if you live in New Hampshire and you're married, and let's say your husband works in Maine, well, evidently, the wife who may work in New Hampshire and not even go to Maine at all, evidently her income is also subject to Maine taxes. Now, I haven't had to deal with this, but from what I understand, if the couple files separately, then they're not subject to the wife's income being taxed in Maine. If they file jointly, her income is. I don't know how that works or how that's able to stand. Now, I only have a rudimentary understanding of it simply because I've never had to deal with it. I've only had to deal with, you know, living in New Hampshire and paying Massachusetts state income tax. And there have been a couple of times where it's been really, really, you know, confusing because I would live in New Hampshire, work in Massachusetts. They would have a small office in Massachusetts, but the reality is I wasn't paid out of Massachusetts. I was paid out of the corporate headquarters, which is in another state, you know, like Texas or Florida. And, you know, those incomes, they didn't recognize me having to pay income tax. And indeed, I didn't. I didn't have to. I didn't understand fully why. I just said, okay, if I don't get to pay, I'm not going to rock the boat, man. I'm not going to insist. But then, of course, there were times I worked in Massachusetts where the company was there. All said and done, I had to pay in, you know, Massachusetts income tax, and I did that. But when they told me I didn't have to, I wasn't going to volunteer. That's for damn sure. So these state income tax things, they're really, really kind of weird. And I see in some cases, like in the case of Maine, they try to reach into other states. And New York is, well, the tri-state area is like this. I mean, it's terrible. I don't know why anybody lives down there. You know, you live in Connecticut, but you work in New York, so you got to pay the New York tax. If you work in New York City, you got to pay New York City income tax, and you got to pay the Connecticut income tax. And God forbid if you also happen to work in New Jersey, because then you got to pay that too. It's just ridiculous. It's terrible how these states are able to somehow creep into other states and pick the pockets from other states. Now, they do this reciprocity stuff and that kind of thing because they each think that they're the ones that are making out like a bandit over the other state. You know, New York thinks that you know they're going to allow Connecticut to do it because Connecticut allows them to do it, and New York thinks, well, we're actually making more money out of Connecticut than Connecticut is taking from us. So, but Connecticut thinks it's just the reverse. They're the winners. And nobody really actually takes the time to actually see if who's winning, if either side is actually winning. They don't care. So that's the whole point with that. Now, New Hampshire doesn't have an income tax, but I guarantee if New Hampshire had an income tax and was trying to reach into Maine, they'd probably throw a fit. Because there are quite a few Mainers that actually work in New Hampshire and Massachusetts, but I don't know how they do that if they're in Massachusetts. I don't know. I don't know if there's a whole hell of a lot of people living in Massachusetts and working in Maine. I guess it could happen. I'd like to see how that worked. But I do know that there are quite a few people who live in the southern part of Maine. They take that, you know, it's a 2-hour commute pretty much for most days. Or they can take a train into Mass and work in Mass. Good luck on that. I don't know why somebody would do that. The taxes are going to eat you alive, honestly. Any case, what stays in Hawaii or what happens in Hawaii doesn't necessarily stay in Hawaii. As Democratic Socialist from Fox News here suffer another loss in a Hawaii primary, but Democrats seem to be making gains elsewhere. Think about Hawaii especially. The Democratic Socialist came in fifth out of evidently six candidates. A fiscally conservative Democrat soundly defeated five other high-profile opponents to represent Honolulu in Congress in Saturday's primary, including the architect of the state's legal challenge to President Trump's travel ban. Yeah, he beat that guy, too. You know, the attorney general in Hawaii who really who launched that constitutional attack on presidential powers. The results in the deeply liberal state were yet another blow to Ocasio-Cortez and even Vermont's Bernie Sanders, who have increasingly tried to take their message mainstream ahead of the November midterm elections, only to see their preferred candidates come up short. Well, probably because people are listening to them and saying, hey, yeah we're going to get everybody's going to be guaranteed a job. And we're going to do it by having them get a job with the federal government. Everybody's going to have a job in my world. And to say such a thing at a time when Trump has pared the federal payroll by some 30 or 35,000 people, and yet the unemployment rate is below 4%, to have this guy come out and say, well, everybody needs a job. Well, pretty much it's getting to the point that everybody that wants one has one. And it's not something that has to go away anytime soon. This could be, as it has been for much of our country's history, the norm were if you wanted a job, there was one available. That's been pretty much the norm for the vast majority of this country's history. Especially since the Industrial Revolution. It's only been there have been times, the Great Depression, that was a problem, obviously, but that was just not the United States due to the United States policy. That was a worldwide or Western world issue. Europe was in the Depression, too, at the same time we were. It was terrible. And we've had a couple of recessions since then that were, job levels were kind of low. But still, if you had talent, education, and or experience, you could find a job. Except for the last 8 years or so under President Barack Hussein Obama. We saw a number of people on government assistance rise to record levels, not just in numbers, but percentage of the population. which is probably a greater arbiter, because obviously if your population increases, well, then certain other numbers are going to increase naturally. But you would think that that if everything stayed the same, that the percentage of people would not change. But it did. It went up under Obama. Percentage-wise, there are a greater number of people under Obama on some form of government assistance than at any other time since the Great Depression. And which time at the Great Depression, there weren't a lot of government programs. So think of that. I mean, we had a greater percentage of the American population getting some form of government assistance, you know, direct welfare payment, you know, SNAP food stamps, or some form of direct government payment assistance than ever before in our history. Greatest number, greatest percentage ever under him. So that was going to be our norm, the normality from then on. Yeah, this is the way it's going to be. I'm sorry, these jobs are going away, not coming back. You better get used to it. This is the new norm. And Trump flipped that on his head. So now, if Bernie would have said, come out with this plan, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, people might have listened. And we might be having some stupid, overly priced, expensive program that would do something just like that. But today, when we see the economy getting better and better every single month, the numbers keep going up and up and up. Unemployment keeps going down, down, down. Labor participation rates keep going up, up, up. The number and the percentage of the number of people getting some sort of government check or assistance is going down, down, down. And Bernie comes out and says, yeah, everybody should be guaranteed a job. We're going to give everybody who doesn't have a job a federal job. Why? And even a lot of Democrats are scratching their head saying, what are you, crazy? Yeah, he is. That's why I call him Crazy Bernie. So the former Congressman Ed Case, a 65-year-old fiscal Democrat conservative, fiscal conservative Democrat, overcame Lieutenant Governor Doug Chin, who as Attorney General took the Trump administration to court over a ban on travel to the United States from several countries in the Middle East. That measure, which has since been upheld by the Supreme Court, was initially ruled unconstitutional by a Hawaii federal judge, whom the Supreme Court sufficiently slapped on the hands and across the face. After his loss, however, Lieutenant Governor Doug Chin praised people who don't want to take the country for granted and wanted to make the country a better place. Well, that would be Trump and his supporters. You know, the whole make America great thing and keep America great thing, that's a reality. Not just a slogan. It's a simplified slogan that actually tells you the true story of what's going on right now. You don't want to take advantage of the country or take the country for granted. You want it to make a better place. Well, that's exactly what Make America Great Again was all about, and that's exactly what he set out to do. And now his new slogan is going to be Keep America Great, because everything that he's doing has either returned our stature or is currently on a way of returning our stature to where it once was. And in some cases, might even exceed it. After things get going. We're still not even 2 years into this man's administration. Do you folks realize this? Not even halfway through his first term. I mean, the turnaround has been staggering. Now the Democrats would have thought that, yeah, okay, Trump can do this, but, you know, it took Reagan a while to hit the ground running. You know, he was kind of, you know, there was a drag on Reagan. And so he had to kind of drag people along before they started rolling with him. And it took a little while, but to get everything going, but it started to roll. Trump didn't take that long before it started rolling. So I think the Democrats were really expecting it to be the same. They were expecting it to put a drag on Trump like they did on Reagan. And that didn't work. And so now we're seeing all this craziness come out of them. And I think a lot of people, including some Democrats, are recognizing this craziness, which is why we have the birth of this hashtag walk away campaign that seems to be extremely significant. Don't forget that, folks. This is extremely significant. Finally, today we've got this thing from Nancy Pelosi actually accuses NBC of trying to undermine her chances of getting back the speaker's gavel if the Democrats take back the House in November. She's actually accusing NBC, who on occasion actually tells the unadulterated truth. I think besides Fox, NBC is probably the network that most often talks about Nancy's brain freezes. And she, you know, sounds and looks crazy sometimes. And now she's lashing out at them. During an interview on MSNBC's AM Joy on Sunday, Nancy Pelosi pointed fingers at NBC for undermining her chances of getting back the speaker's gavel if Democrats take the House back in November. So if she doesn't get back that gavel, it's not going to be because of her. Democrats can never take responsibility for their own actions. It's always going to be somebody else. And now Nancy Pelosi is pointing a finger at one of, you know, her allies, actually saying, you know, you're telling too much truth about me. And if I don't get back the speaker's gavel when we take back the House in November, it's going to be your fault. She's already placing blame on somebody else, not herself. Hey Nancy. You know, people have recognized, including people in your own party and district, have recognized that you kind of lose it every once in a while. And it's happening more frequently, on a more frequent basis. And people have noticed it, and they're questioning your mental capacity and to be able to do the job. Can you imagine this woman as being Speaker of the House? You know, what's she going to do, have a brain freeze while holding the gavel up there in a House session? I mean, honestly, that's not NBC's fault. I mean, it's not your fault either. It's just the natural progression of your own health because you're a human being. So you got to accept that and accept your responsibility for yourself. I mean, please, stop blaming other people. Anyway, we're out of time for today, but we will be back here tomorrow, Tuesday morning. So tune in next time, same bat channel. Until then, have a wonderful Monday afternoon, even if the sun isn't shining in your neighborhood. I'm Rod Echols. Thanks for tuning in. I'm out.
Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. A shameless politician always plays her cards right. Got a crew for the fight on the airwaves. Lap dogs in the press keep the mouths tight. Cause a Clinton never needs to explain what, why it is, what they done, or with who. A real Clinton knows that they're entitled, and you don't get to know what they do.
What difference does it make?
For Clinton, what's loaded in some fat apple file? A Clinton plays the victim for promotion. A Clinton kills it off with a smile. Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. A server full of secrets ain't no thing. Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. Nothing ever hits with a sting.